Howdy-do, buckaroos. This is the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast for Wednesday, October 31st, 2018. Happy Halloween, everybody. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont, and today I am dressed up as Princess Leia, which will come as a surprise to approximately no one. With me today, I have a couple of people to talk about the news of the day. Jeff Gamut, what's your costume for Halloween?
Princess Leia. I feel so awkward right
now. Oh, man. You know, I knew it was like 50-50 whether we were going to have a conflict like that. And Dave Hamilton, how about you?
I am Matthew McConaughey, circa 1999, playing bongos in his house at 3 a.m.
That's a pretty awesome costume.
It's a lot easier than most people might think.
It is a lot easier than most people might think, but sort of chilly on a day like today. I'm not going to lie.
It is indeed. All right. So,
oh, that was awesome.
It's that kind of show today, kids. All right. The first thing I want to talk about is, Dave, you were having kind of a, I don't know if standoff is the right word, but you were having kind of an issue with Apple Music, and I want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I'm an older person. And so I lived through the days of making mixtapes for friends and family and things like that. And I have recently gotten back into that with my daughter having gone off to college. And we've been making mixtapes, not mixtapes, playlists for each other going back and forth.
That is so cool.
Mm-hmm. It is cool. And so I missed out. I missed the concept of like giving someone a tape, right? Okay, I can make a playlist for you and I can just share that with you. And that's fine. And I'm sure she and I will get to the point where it becomes that. But for the first couple, I've written out a sort of a narrative of why I chose each song. And then I handed that to her and she did the same back to me. And the deal is you don't get the link to the playlist until you get the piece of paper. So the playlist, yes, it exists, but you can't hear it until you have the thing. Right. So, mm-hmm. So there's this tactile element and that's been great. But what I realized I cannot do is I cannot share with her songs that are not in Apple Music. I have lots of songs in my iTunes library that are not in Apple Music, and I can put them in playlists for me, and I can listen to those playlists. And sometimes those are the kind of obscure things that you want to share with someone, a live version of this, a recording of a band that, you know, existed before Apple Music and never wound up getting there, like, you know, those sorts of things. And I cannot share those in a playlist with her and really, or with anyone, you know, and really, the only way to do it would be to bundle up, you know, a folder, then a zip file of, you know, compressed. I mean, it wouldn't actually compress it, but it would put it into one file of, you know, of all these MP3s, mm-hmm. and then
a convenient zip file.
Yes.
Yes. A convenient zip file, but really not that convenient, because then you've got to unzip the file and now assemble the playlist in the following order. Right. You know, and I suppose I should test this. Maybe if I have, you know, Running Down by Go Figure in my playlist or in my music library, and she also happens to have that same track in her music library, would she then see it in a playlist that I shared with her? So that really all I'd have to do is share with her the non-Apple Music files, right? The ones, mm-hmm. that would be missing. I have to test that. That just came up as we were kind of talking about it here, but still it's this big pain in the neck. And I get that Apple Music playlists are meant to be shared far and wide. And of course that doing that with that track by Go Figure would violate the rights. Now I happen to have played in that band. I would sign off on it, but that's notwithstanding, I get that.
That doesn't change the fact that your band didn't make it on Apple Music. So you couldn't share it with, if somebody else was into that.
We existed long before Apple Music. It's actually really not that difficult to get your stuff on Apple Music these days, but I digress. So, you know, could I share, but I would like to have a playlist that I could share with a single person, right? Mm-hmm. And like, there's fair use involved there where it's like, yeah, I'm just giving you this. Now, I don't ever expect Apple or any other business that's in the streaming music market to allow anything like that, because that's where the labels and the artists and everything are going to go to all, you know, hand wavy and say, oh my God, this is the thing. This is what we, you know, this is why we didn't want to do this in the first place. You folks ruined it. You're letting people steal. Like, so I get that they won't do that. That's not actually stealing, but you know,
it sounds better.
It gives them fuel for that particular fire, and they don't want to give them fuel for that fire. But it is kind of a pain in the neck. There's no easy way to do this. So I got to test that theory I just came up with about, you know, handing her the one song and you know, but even that, right? So now rant number two, great. I'll give you this song. Cool. Oh, you don't have a Mac? Oh, or a Windows machine? You just have an iPhone? Oh, you can't add that song to your Apple Music library. Sorry. Mm-hmm. There's no way to add an MP3 or an M4A or anything else to your Apple Music library from your phone.
There's totally not. You have to get another device involved. Yeah, which is the thing that I'm...
A desktop computer involved or a laptop, but not an iPhone or iPad.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, just despite your frustration, which I totally get, I still find my favorite feature in Apple Music, which goes in tandem with my favorite feature on my HomePod, is saying, "Hey, S Lady, play my friend's mix."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for that, sure. Oh no, this is a cool thing.
I love that. And yes, I would love for that mix to include the songs that aren't available in Apple Music, because I know both of you have great songs that aren't there that you would love for me to be able to hear. And yet that's not an option. But still, I have found that unless you know, like I need to relax and I say, "Hey, S Lady, play classical," or you know, something like that, my go-to when I tell the HomePod to play music is my friend's mix. That's just the bomb. Which means that my friends all have great taste in music.
And think how much better those playlists would be if I was on Apple Music too and could share those things with you.
I know that does. Yeah. And Apple Music playlists are diminished because you're not there.
Well, and I totally see what Dave is saying, because part of what I really liked about, was it Lala that Apple bought and then killed, where you could put all your stuff on all your stuff? Cause I remember that, and that was super cool. And it was super cool for about 6 months. And then Apple made it disappear. And they turned it into Ping, I think, which is, like, I'm still mad about. and I shouldn't be. But, geez. So, when I look at stuff like this, like, that's one of the things that I think of. Is, like, I've gotten exclusive fan club material from places, you know. And I've gotten... limited edition albums, and I've got like imports from other countries, which is maybe stuff that, like, due to region information, like, you know, I can't go on Apple Music and listen to the remix of that Pet Shop Boys song that only came out in Germany or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, yeah, you know, which is part of why my knee jerk, my go-to is not to go to iTunes and buy a record. I still go buy the little plastic platter, because that way I know I have all my stuff. And then if I really want to, I can go buy one of those little flash drives that looks like a cassette tape. And then I can make a mixtape for Dave on this little USB drive and stick it in the mail and wait. And then Dave will get exactly the music that I wanted him to have in exactly the order it should be in. Because that's the point of a mixtape.
That's the coolest thing I've heard all day.
As long as I play it from your USB drive. But if I import it into iTunes, then I don't necessarily get it in the right order, because you're not sharing that playlist. I did have a thought, though, because I like to solve problems, right? And I don't like to just rant and then just, you know, throw my hands up and walk away. So if I want to add, and I'm going to set this up, if I want to add music to iTunes from my iPod, or from my iPod, but from my iPhone, because I'm living in 2018,
Hey, I still use my iPod.
No, I know. But be that as it may. it was just a weird device name to choose. But music related, so perhaps that's why. There is that folder inside your iTunes folder, inside the iTunes media folder. There is a folder named Automatically Add to iTunes. And anything in there will be automatically added to iTunes. Now, I could use either... iCloud Drive or Dropbox or any one of those syncing services, right, to take a file that I save from my phone and automatically sync to my Mac. So then all I need is Hazel on my Mac to watch that folder in either Dropbox or iCloud Drive. Mm-hmm. And when an MP3 or an M4A appears in this Songs from Dave's iDevices folder that I create on Dropbox, mm-hmm. it moves it to the automatically add to iTunes folder and then launches iTunes. So mm-hmm. that it gets automatically uploaded and added to my Apple Music library, and voila, life is good. So I'm going to set that up because I routinely get, you know, I plan different bands and stuff. I get MP3s emailed to me, and it's this big, like, oh, right, I got to go to a computer.
I have
do
to this
thing.
And that, yeah.
Jerky, jerky. And really, I could set that up and like, I don't even need to build a workflow to do it on, or a shortcut, sorry, now that we call it that, because it's really just save it to that folder in Dropbox. I just export it out, and from even from an email, you can do that and you're good to go. Yeah.
I can't wait to see the tip for that on TMO.
There you go. There you go.
I can't wait to see how you can put music on your phone that didn't come out of iTunes without needing to plug it into a computer. Because well, I feel like sometimes I'm the last person.
Yes.
Right. But I feel like sometimes I'm the last person on earth who's actually plugging my phone into my computer on a regular basis. And it's because I put music on it. And it's because I frequently find myself in places where I can't stream anything because maybe I don't have reception at all. Like, I live in Portland, and between here and the Oregon coast, there's a huge stretch of the trip where there's not reception. Right. And so, you know, I can't rely on Spotify or Pandora or anything like that in order to listen to music all the time, like around town. Yeah. But if I want to go anywhere, there's stretches of places that I regularly travel where there's just no reception. So I have to have something on there, you know, and I'm not going to be, you know, Mr. Kelly, who has, like, you know, two of the three Lord of the Rings soundtracks on his phone, and that's it. Like, I need a little bit more variety than that. So I take time, and I have, like, a special playlist in iTunes, and, you know, put stuff over there, and regularly I go in and select all and nuke them and then build the list again from scratch so I get a whole new set of music. And I find it frustrating that I still have to do it that way, particularly when you find yourself in an instance, like, say, you are, you know, say you're out hiking and you want to swap out some of the music on your phone. Like, I need something peppier. Like, there's no opportunity to do that generally,
right,
you know, unless you have a laptop with you. And that's not very ultralight, you know, as hiking people would say.
Yeah.
So, you know, you think you're carrying, you think you're getting ahead of the game by putting it on like a micro SD card or something, but there's no way to get it from the micro SD card onto your phone. You can play it from the card, but you have to leave the thing connected to the bottom. It's a whole thing.
Onto your iPhone. Of course, if we were running Android phones, we wouldn't have this problem.
Exactly.
I'm not necessarily advocating a switch. I'm just pointing out
that's the thing.
Not a universal smartphone problem. It's an
right.
iPhone
you
problem.
Just, right.
You can send songs. You can send ringtones.
Mm-hmm.
You can do whatever you want.
Ringtones are a whole other thing. We're going to have to talk about that on another show because I have a lot of aggravation and a lot of heartburn around ringtones. Speaking of aggravation and heartburn, part of why Jeff is here today is to talk a little bit about the Mac Mini.
Yeah. So first, let me start by saying I'm glad that Apple finally gave us a refresh for the Mac Mini. That it was long overdue, mm-hmm. and this is going to be a really nice computer for a lot of people.
Because it's space gray.
And because it's space gray, yes. I mean, the Thunderbolt 3 ports, although all four are on a single channel, so that means that you're limited to 4K and I think two displays. But it also has a couple USB-A ports on it, and I mean, overall, it has a nice mix of stuff, but when I look at the overall specs, mm-hmm. I'm just feeling like Apple could have given people more in this computer, especially because they were implying that this is a machine that pros can use as well.
Mm-hmm.
I like that the memory is user upgradable if you have good dexterity, but when I look at the general specs, you know, the processor, the amount of RAM, storage, things like that, I'm thinking I would have been so excited to see this come out 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be fair, we would have been excited to see any Mac Mini update at any point in time.
Yes, there is that.
But I'll let you finish. I'm going to let you finish.
Thanks. But I'm just feeling like this is not as much as Apple could have put into this computer, considering how long people have been waiting for it.
Well, clearly it's a legacy device because it's got a headphone jack.
Yeah, it does have a headphone jack. That's true. Yeah.
I'm actually really excited about this. I've been talking to some friends who are like in the, you know, music business and the creative pros, you know, some of those creative pros that Apple was talking about. And then other folks like even me. And yeah, I mean, technically a creative pro, but really I've been thinking about a Mac Mini to replace an aging machine we have in the house, or perhaps two of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like the product line of this Mac Mini is pretty interesting. I mean, you can go either 4-core or 6-core, right? And you can go from an i3 up to an i7. And that i3 is inexpensive and still going to do what way more than what most people need right now, right? For $799, you're starting at 4-core and 8 gigs of RAM. And you know what? 8 gigs is not too bad. I would go to 16, but I probably wouldn't. I'd probably look at, you know, what's Crucial going to sell me a RAM upgrade for, right? Because we can think that way again, which is cool.
And I really like that. It's great to see that.
As long as you know me, and I'm the person, because I have tiny little hands, so I'm one of the only people who can actually go upgrade the memory in one of these.
Sure.
Side business for Kelly.
Yeah.
But for $799, yes, it's limited. It's not limited. It comes with 8 gigs of RAM. It is limited officially to 128 gig SSD, but it's a desktop computer. It's not going anywhere.
Right.
Right. So you could easily get an external SSD, probably way cheaper than what Apple's going to charge you to go any further than that. And I think I haven't done the math on all this, but you know, $1,000, $1,100, you've got a decent screen, you've got enough to boot from, you've got a machine that's going to do what 99% of the people out there really need. Right. And then for the creative pros, you bump up, and now for not that much more, I mean, you're for less than $1,000 more than that, you're now at a 6-core i7. Right. You know, with if you want to go to 32 gigs of RAM from Apple, yes, you are at more than, you know, more than 1,000 more, but really just about 1,000 more. Right. It's $799 for the base unit with 32 gigs of RAM in the i7. It's $1,899. Mm-hmm. So but you know, you're going to be able to get your RAM cheaper than that from somebody else, and you can put it in.
Right.
So I see this as a really versatile machine in the lineup in terms of all the people that it can support. Basically, if, you know, and here's the thing though, I've gotten really excited about every Mac Mini. And then the day that I buy, I go and I price out the Mac Mini I want. And then I say, okay, well, I know I need a display with this. If I don't already have one, which I usually don't, you know, I then look at the iMac, right? So I need to buy a display. So what does this machine cost with a display? And 100% of,
you know what it costs? It costs an iMac.
Well, but 100% of those times I bought an iMac instead, because it's like, oh, it actually, yeah, that's a better deal. Okay, I'll do that. You know,
yeah.
And if you already have the display, which now I kind of do, I have a bunch of displays around. It's like, well, maybe the Mac Mini, you know,
it's finally time,
again,
Dave,
for less than 1,000. It might be. I'll circle back when purchase day comes. But you know, you got a machine here that can do a lot. Even that 4-core i3, that's going to blow away what most people need for.
It's going to blow away what most people have.
Playing some games. Yeah,
I think that's the thing. Is like, if you're upgrading, generally, if you're upgrading and you're upgrading, and the Mini is a contender for what that might be, right? Yeah. Then it's either, most likely, because a lot of times, you know, when people do stuff like this, remember when this was, when the Mac Mini was announced, part of the appeal of it was you bring your own KVM. And So it was, you know, so if you already have your keyboard set up and your mouse set up and your monitor set up, you just swap out the thing they're all connected to. And that was the whole point of it. So if you had a display, Dave, and, you know, and like you said, now you have several, then all you do is unplug the thing that's under there now and plug in this new thing instead. That seems like a pretty great choice. And for a lot of people who are upgrading something like this, you know, people who, a lot of people's day to day is now a laptop. So anybody who's still got something where a mini would be a good contender for pull out the thing that's there and slot in something else, then this might be a really good machine for them, because it, you can, because you do get a solid machine for $799. Yeah. Now, I think you should have gotten a solid machine for $799 a year ago. And we should have had a revision this year, but that's me.
Agreed. But here we are. Right. I mean, you know, like, let's look forward. I'm excited about what this machine is today, in addition to the fact that I would have appreciated this a year and a half ago.
Yeah. But,
you know, be that as it may.
I am really glad that Apple released this machine, because... I mean, it was embarrassing how long we've gone with no change to the Mac Mini.
It was embarrassing because they still sold the old one. If they had just taken it out and old yellered it, then we wouldn't have noticed.
So. Yeah, and I probably would have been more excited about this new Mac Mini had they done that.
Mm-hmm.
But... as I've been listening to Dave rattle off all these things that he's pleased with the Mac Mini, it's got me to thinking, I believe part of my disappointment with the specs on the new Mac Mini is that I've already had the expectation set that this is all it's going to be for at least 4 more years.
Yes.
And if someone's going to buy this computer now and replace it with a Mac Mini when a new model comes out, and that's going to be 4 or 5 years down the road,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to see more bang for the buck in this computer.
We used to get in towers.
It's coming down to, I feel like Apple just, I don't want to say burned Mac Mini users by making them wait so long, but I'm just concerned that this is all we're going to have for a long time. So I wanted to see more in it.
I would use this Mac Mini to replace a computer that's 11 years old.
Oh,
we keep computers a lot longer than we used to.
This would be a huge upgrade.
Right, but I think for the purpose that computer just served for 11 years, I think this Mac Mini would also serve for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
If
you got 11 years out of it, it's not rendering video.
Correct. Right. Or it is, and I don't care if it takes 3 days. Right. It's not mission critical, although you can buy a mission critical ready Mac Mini today now.
Yes.
Right. Like that 6-core version, it's a whole different machine. And, you know, would I step up to that? Probably, because I know I'm going to keep it for 10, 11 years. So might as well get as much CPU as I possibly can out of it now. So, yeah, I probably would spend the few $100 extra to do that.
Yeah, get the beefed up CPU.
Yeah.
Get whatever you think is the best storage that you should have in there. And
yeah, although I'm not worried about that, because I can just add storage. It's not.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because
you can just plug something in the back, you know, if you really need to.
It's it. You wouldn't even know.
The processor.
Yep. Right. Processor and then RAM.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't even buy it with the RAM.
No, I would upgrade the RAM.
I would upgrade the RAM after the fact.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to bring it to Crazy Kelly's house of Mac Mini RAM upgrades, and I'll take care of you.
There. I'm in.
All right.
It's going to be great deals.
So, Jeff, it sounds like maybe you're not feeling quite as harsh on this as you were previously.
I'm not quite as harsh, but I'm still feeling the disappointment.
It's as you should.
And I say that knowing that this is a computer that's going to serve many people well for many years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still feeling like for as capable as the machine is, I would have been a lot more excited about this computer 2 years ago.
Oh, yes. I think everyone would have. So, with that, we're going to send Jeff and Dave off to the rest of their days. Jeff, thank you so much for being here. I do love your outfit, by the way.
Oh, and I love yours too. You do the cinnamon bun hair a lot better than I do.
Okay, that's fair. And Dave, your costume is certainly something.
I apologize for my outfit. Yeah.
It's certainly something.
Glad that you kept the bongo in the right place.
See, that's really what makes that's what makes it the right costume. So with that, everyone here at Daily Observations wishes you a happy Halloween, and we will talk to you again tomorrow. Until then, be excellent to each other.